It's really astonishing how much you equate things back to Tinder.
Oh, for sure.
And it's all super mathematical. The most Indian thing about this conversation is that your Tinder, your Tinder is like statistical and numerical. It's like, well, one out of every seven.
That's how I validate. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a great validation tool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's a very feminist quality is to count swipes. New York feminism, dog. I cannot handle it.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of American Bases. My name is Arjun.
I'm Akash.
And we have here today, actually, first let me introduce our new equipment that we're trying out today. We got a little of that money, South by Southwest, and we decided, let's see what we can give y'all back. How do we help y'all?
Yeah, how do we help the community?
By building, well, we're trying out some new equipment, some new mics and stuff to see if it sounds better, so.
I wanted to gamble the money away. Arjun wanted to help y'all, honestly.
So we're gonna test this stuff out, and we appreciate some feedback. Let us know if the audio that you guys are catching is improved, feels better. But today, we have on the show someone I'm excited about, who I actually met through a dear friend of mine, Lenny Platt Arroyo, who is more in contact with Bollywood than I am. He's on Quantico with Priyanka Chopra right now.
Ooh.
But he email introduced us to his guy, Puneeth Sabharwal.
Sabharwal.
And he is dope dude in the tech scene, but he moved here from India. He's got, as Lenny described him, he's got a little bit of an Indian James Dean thing going on. he's got some ill ink on his arm we're going to talk
huge
about.
Huge Mahabharata tattoo.
But we're like you all, I'm introducing you all to Puneeth.
Well, I'm happy to be here. This looks like a pretty sick setup, actually.
Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
Let's dive in. I think the most interesting thing is one thing we were just talking about right before is why you moved to America.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I moved here for a girl that I'm not with anymore.
Of course not. Who moves across to an international country for a girl and then it works out?
Well, it worked out while it did.
How long was that while it did?
We split in 2013, late 2014, early.
Oh wow!
We were together for a while. We were together for almost 6-7 years.
Oh wow!
Out of which 2 years were long distance.
Wow! How'd you meet her?
I met her in India. She's a girl from Midwest who was traveling.
Oh, hold up! She's a girl from the Midwest.
Yeah, you think the white girl moves to India, or you think the Indian guy moves to America?
Well, I thought
this was two folks
her.
In India that moved out to America because they wanted to move out.
Oh, you thought moved out for a girl, like she wants to move, so
yeah.
We move.
Oh,
I took it
no,
as like
a... No, this
is
a white girl.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
I said Midwest, dog.
Guys, it's Saturday morning.
He said the Midwest.
Fair enough. All right, so this girl came to... So she came to India. How long was she out there? What brought her out to?
She was there for 3 months. I met her... sometime when she was ready to basically go back to Michigan.
Wow.
And then we just hung out. I felt terrible for her. I think she was just having insane issues communicating.
Where were you?
Oh, I thought you were going to say diarrhea.
Okay.
Well, that too, for sure. Yeah. It was summertime.
Where was this?
This was in Delhi.
Yeah. Now, I'm fascinated by it because the dating scene in Delhi is so interesting to me. The dating scene in big cities is interesting to me because I always talk to my cousins on a mountain like the... you know, smaller cities. And dating is, there's still a conservatism or a traditionality around dating when I'm in those smaller cities. And then I have some friends that lived in Chennai. It's a pretty big city, in my opinion. And it's hilarious how it doesn't sound any different than dating in the States. What was your experience dating in Delhi?
Well, this is kind of hilarious. I was telling a friend of mine recently that I actually haven't been single for a day between 19 and 32. So since I was 19 till I turned 32, I haven't been single at all. So before I met Teresa, I was dating pretty extensively, overlap of relationships. I don't think I ever felt like it was difficult.
How are you never single for a day? You were just cheating on everybody and then breaking up with them and getting with the next girl?
Sort of, yeah.
Oh yeah, my God, I knew it!
No, I wasn't at all. I think it was just like a interest overlap. Like, you'll meet someone interesting, and then you just want to be with that person and somehow make it work.
Yeah, emotional cheating.
Yeah.
I got you.
Wait, so, but most of these women were Indian.
Yeah, yeah, I did not, yeah. I mean, Teresa was basically the first non-Indian girl that I dated and then ended up marrying. And then since then, I don't think I've dated another Indian girl.
Wow, she really messed you up.
No, she didn't.
Or did the opposite. From a standpoint for like the Indian women that are listening, were like, oh, I want an Indian James Dean, and now they can't have you. Okay, so you guys met in India. What was that courtship like? I'm curious to know.
Yeah, it was just supposed to be this casual, lovely thing because there was no expectation. I knew that she was going to go back. There was no expectation on any front. But when she went back, we started exchanging some text messages, spoke to each other for a while. and then I decided that she should probably come back and hang out with me again. So I basically sent her a ticket and she came back.
Yeah, money,
and
huh?
That's such a baller move, though. But it's also remarkable what technology has done for international, like
oh, for sure,
up with people. It's remarkable that you could stay in touch with someone 8,000 miles away.
Yeah, it was stressful. I mean, I think it took, like, most of my money was actually going into air tickets and telephone bills. So I eventually tried to convince her to stay in India for about 6-7 months. I was doing really well. I didn't, there was just no part of me that wanted to move to US ever. But it was just unfortunate because, you know, she's never lived outside of this country for that long. And she is from Midwest. So she just started falling sick a lot. And then we eventually decided that, okay, she gave it a shot. She stayed with me for a while. So I should give it a shot and come here and do it for 3 or 4 months.
And that when you came for the 3 or 4 months, then you were just like, I'm staying.
I'm like, fuck this. This is what I'm doing. I'm just going to stay.
I want to go back to the dating thing for a second because I'm fascinated by this. You've now dated, you are now single, or at least.
I am single.
And you have been dating in New York. We are in New York. And you've dated in Delhi. Do you see a dramatic difference between the two?
Yeah. Culturally, massive, massive difference for sure.
Could you identify a few of those differences?
Sure. But although I don't know, maybe this will be oblivious because I also haven't been in India for 7 years. So maybe things have changed and maybe people are, you know, much more progressive.
Okay, we'll insert that caveat.
I think the biggest contrast I would say is that every relationship that I had in India was always had this like undertone of or this expectation that it has to end up in a marriage or some sort of a long-term commitment. Whereas I think that's the biggest contrast that I'm seeing here dating, that I think you don't necessarily put that pressure initially on a relationship. If things do work out, they do when they do. But that was one of the biggest things that I kind of liked about dating in New York.
Was that there wasn't as much pressure?
Yeah.
On like a long term, like you have to get married.
I mean, you don't have to have a vision of like having kids and, you know, moving into a house and marrying the person that you're dating. I mean, I guess that could be your eventual goal anyway, but that just felt like something that was a contrast, and I kind of, you know, enjoyed that.
Well, I think it's hilarious because I remember when I was 15 and I had my conversation with my father about like I want to date, and he was like, I don't really understand what dating is. He was like, what's the point, right? And it is an interesting thing, is like, in the East, is like, what's the point of just dating? You should be looking for your partner. So I understand that makes a lot of sense that there would be that undercurrent of pressure.
Yeah, but I feel like for me, the contrast is much bigger too, because as I said, I mean, I had never been single until I was 32. So I did go through a crisis when Teresa and I split up because I didn't know how to date in this country.
Right.
So I may have made a bunch of mistakes in the beginning. But the last year and a half or two, I feel
Tinder game is tight.
Tinder game is freaking crushing it. So I think it's probably the beard and the tattoo. So
I mean, you are really well suited for the Lorimer Street.
Oh, thing. Oh my God, yeah. I mean, I've seen the contrast of like people that I match with because I work in downtown, and if I ever try to be on Tinder there, I would
downtown Manhattan.
By Wall Street.
Yeah.
So if I'm swiping there, I would probably get one out of
they think 30, you're homeless.
30 or 40 matches.
Right.
Whereas here in Brooklyn, it'll be 1 to 5 probably.
I mean, it's
now Akash met you at the door when you got here, and he noticed something that was interesting. You tell it.
I didn't notice. I didn't notice that he was Indian.
Right.
I thought he was like, I was like, who's this white dude just standing here outside of the door like a weirdo?
I've definitely heard that before, but it's always confusing because I do try to ask people what that means, like if they think I am from a particular region, But it there may be some Persian in me. It's questionable, but I guess most North Indians have that.
Right. Yeah, but you're super light skin. You got the shaved head, not like a bald head, like you shaved it actively. You got the super thick beard. You got tattoos. There's not a lot about you to me that's like, oh, this is what I recognize from an Indian.
Did those tattoos come when you were in the States, or did they come in India?
Yeah, I got it last year.
Yeah. Now, was there... I've seen a much more increase of tattoos in India. Was that when you were there? Was that already happening more?
Yeah,
and more?
That was definitely happening. I remember Funky Monkey used to be this like super big shop in Gurgaon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were a big parlor that was kind of, I mean, a tattoo just from this like Godai traditional form was changing into something that people were finding really like hip.
Well, it's such a logical step for body art to come to India, since that's been such a part of. I mean, if you look at like ancient images of gods and culture, there's so much ordainment and like accessorizing that it doesn't seem like tattoos would be a very large step to make.
No, hey, totally, yeah.
But real quick, your tattoo. While we're on the subject, Mahabharat tattoo, but you're not religious.
I'm not religious now.
So why that tattoo?
I just grew up watching Mahabharat, and I still have really pleasant associations with this, because I think that, but like most religious text, I think there's always so much more going on contextually that we always misinterpret. But in this case, I just feel this like this specifically the scene that I have on my arm.
Can you walk us through what that scene is?
Yeah, sure. This is the final moment. This is the moment when Gita actually is written and Gita is about. So the poem, the conversation between Krishna and Arjun is what this tattoo is about. It's the 8 to 10 hour conversation that they have in the battlefield, and he walks him through the concept of karma. And Arjun is just feeling weak. He doesn't want to fight and basically kill his own family. And Krishna is just telling him, don't be an idiot. You got to do things. And
do your duty.
Yeah, do your duty.
What spoke to you about that particular scene?
I feel like there are a lot of times, even now in my life, where before starting anything, I would try to question and find like the real meaning of why I need to do this or why I want to do this. But there are certain aspects of this theory that just help me kind of be zen and resign to just doing something and not like really, you know, coming to a conclusion. I don't need to come to a conclusion now. I think I can wait to see what will happen. So it just makes me feel like I can just kind of chill out and just go into things without thinking too much.
Interesting way of taking pressure off of yourself.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, you're just accepting like this is the path I have to take.
Right, right.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking a lot about and we've been, you know, in our own personal lives, the pressure that we put on ourselves that for us was born out of, you know, our upbringing and the way that our parents from India were putting that, you know, pressure for achievement or accomplishment on us. And that's a really interesting way of taking that off.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I totally relate to that. I mean, my parents did the same thing to me. They pushed me and wanted me to study math or business and accounts and be a doctor and stuff like that. But also they were super helpful in recognizing that I was basically a really bad student and I was not going to do any of this.
Right.
And that's how I ended up being an artist back in the day. So I understand the pressure, but also I think this sort of just helped me kind of like continue to keep fighting off that pressure.
Right.
That, you know, I don't necessarily need to prove anything. My own thing. And
how was your family's response with Teresa in that whole situation?
It was conflicting. I think my mom was really fond of her, but she's also still ingrained in that society and has a lot of cultural pressure that she just in that moment didn't know how she's gonna answer her family or how will she explain why is this like white girl living with us and why who is this person. So I think she was worried, but she was also very supportive. So yeah, I mean, this is a terminology that I think all of your audience will be familiar with. But my parents had a love marriage, so I think she.
Oh, wow.
That's why I think it was easier for her to recognize something
right.
like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Your parents were hippies back in the day.
Not necessarily hippies, but yeah.
I mean for yeah. then. What yeah. year they get married, probably?
Well, I'm 34, so I would say like 60.
Yeah.
No.
Love marriage in the 60s. That
sounds wrong. Yeah. 60.
Late 60s,
you're
early
right,
70s.
You're right. Yeah, 60s.
Yeah, I mean that's
still somewhat progressive.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah. My dad was my mom's math teacher.
Yeah, it's not progressive at all. You're talking. That's not scandalous.
No, it went from progressive to creepy. Honestly.
well, tuition. Let's.
Oh, tuition. Oh, okay, that's
not a school teacher.
Yeah, that's different.
Okay. That now I'm much more at ease than I was 10 seconds ago. Okay.
Well, so you moved out to the States. Did you come straight to New York, or did you go somewhere else first?
Yeah, I lived with my brother for a year in New Jersey while I was just figuring out what I need to do.
Oh,
here.
So you had some family out here.
Yeah, my brother's been here for almost 15, 16 years now.
So why did he come out, and why were you opposed? Because you had said earlier that you never wanted to come to the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, he's the studious, more, you know, like there's a career, and he's the stereotypical IT dude from India. And he always knew that about him, and he was more diligent and went to school here and then decided to just stay longer. For me, I think I was just, well, one, I didn't want to leave my mom alone. So there was just that emotional balance that just kept me there for a while. But then also I was in advertising and I was just having time of my life. So I never necessarily thought about even changing that ever.
You said you didn't want to leave your mom alone. Is one parent family?
Oh yeah. So my dad died in 96. So yeah, it's basically just my mom. Yeah.
So 96, you were 16?
Yep, 16.
Maybe even younger. No, 96, you were like 12. How'd you handle that?
No, I was 15 or 16.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I thought you were born 84. Okay. Yeah. How'd you handle that? That's.
I mean, it was sort of a crisis, definitely. Because 2 or 3 years after that, my brother left to study in Chicago. So I was a really, really confused, angry kid. I don't necessarily know if my family ever identified that about me, but I think once I started working in advertising was really the time that I figured out that no, I can be a balanced adult.
I can only imagine that it took time to find, especially with your brother leaving you. You were raised to an element of man of the house and responsible and maybe we'll yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. That was a little confusing, but also gave me an opportunity to become an adult pretty quickly. So.
And when you came out to the States, how did you handle that with your mom at that point?
I think that was also a little stressful in the beginning, but I think my mom pretty quickly recognized that was going to happen if, you know, Teresa and I were to be together. So she was okay, and she still travels a lot. She tries to, you know, be in U.S. at least once or once in a year or sometimes, you know,
every other year.
Every other year.
Yeah, but that's amazing.
She's coming again in May.
Mom. What up, auntie?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I do feel guilty about it sometimes, and I do think that at some point I will have to consider, you know, if she has to make a leap and just like be here with us.
Right.
But she also has a pretty hectic social life in India that she doesn't really want to necessarily leave,
which is amazing.
So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Well, it's awesome to hear she has a community out there.
So how often do you go back?
I have only been back once ever since I moved here in 2013, which was kind of because of the confusing time that I was going through when Teresa and I split up. And it was mostly me trying to recognize if I even need to be here or perhaps go back because this did not feel like my country at the in that moment. But I went there and I had a fantastic time. I mean, it was actually really good being a tourist in my own country. So I had a pretty fabulous time, but also recognized that nothing really has changed there. And if I go back in 10 years or so, things will be the same. So I don't need to do this right now.
So was your primary idea to stay here was that this felt like an opportunity and that India would be back there when you...
Exactly. That's what I thought. So I also just felt like I hadn't done enough to prove myself here yet, and I still had a lot of things to do.
What
and
do you
I
need to prove.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
Mostly to learn. I think prove is probably not the right term. But yeah, mostly just there's just a lot of exposure here that I feel like in my comfort in India I might not have been able to like get exposed to.
Interesting.
So it's been a pretty great transition, and it's not one. That one decision of me moving here, which was already so stressful, has led to multiple great things. So, right. Like, from meeting this partner to being on my own to starting here and leaving advertising, like, being in tech, having, like, a strong community of friends here. So everything has led to something fantastic, which I definitely feel like I want to be part of.
Well, that's such an interesting, I just want to note and underline that sort of mentality of everything has led to. It's kind of, again, goes back to your tattoo, you know, accepting my path and just letting the path work for you. And it allows you to look at things like that and have that perspective of, yeah, this was what I was supposed to do because it led to this, which is what I'm supposed to be right now, which is just a beautiful way, I think, of looking at the world and definitely a really compassionate way.
No, totally. And I genuinely try to remind myself to appreciate this every day. Even with my friends, we talk about this all the time. We recognize this. We congratulate each other every day for, you know, just like having this life and feeling so awesome here.
You said that this is not, this doesn't feel like your country at that moment.
Right, in that moment, yes.
You're feeling differently about that now?
Yeah, no, I feel super grounded. Brooklyn feels like home. I'm obsessed with this place. I've been between
two goddamn hippies right now.
I think the hipster.
Yeah. When you have like New York has a tendency, we were talking about this earlier, that it does, it's a love-hate relationship, but I feel like that it's changing every day for me, where I want to leave New York. I feel like I need to go somewhere else and have more.
In America? Or
in U.S., but at the same time, like anytime the decision really comes to that, I get anxiety about leaving New York.
Right. What was it at that moment that made you feel outside specifically? Like, what was it? Why? Can you identify now in hindsight why at that moment this didn't feel like your country, and what has allowed it to now feel more grounded?
I think it was just mostly my relationship. I don't even think that there was anything else that I was doubting. I mean, I was on a good path. I was making decent money. I had a career. I was doing everything good at that point, but it was mostly the aspect of like me being alone suddenly and not recognizing that as, you know, like it was difficult being a 32-year-old adult in this country that didn't feel like my country,
right,
for a minute. And I was familiar how to like approach women in India and like, you know,
right,
be in that dating scene, but I just didn't know how to do that.
How is that different?
I think it was
women in India versus approaching women here.
Good question.
Do
they have Tinder or stuff like that in India?
Yeah, they do. They
really?
I tried Tinder when I was in India.
Oh my
2013.
God.
It wasn't great. I mean, it was a lot of white people on Tinder in India while they were traveling.
Okay.
So so I don't necessarily think people are really using it. OkCupid probably is being used
and
more.
And I run the white women beneath. They're everywhere.
Yeah. But it was also not even that. It just felt like, hey, I can just go back and like reach out to sort of my ex-flames or like friends that I've known, you know, that can potentially be my partners. So it just felt more easy to do that rather than
like the courtship aspect is what I'm interested in. How is that different in India as opposed to here?
I think like the initial, like, can you pick up people in the same way?
Here's a cute girl.
I honestly never had to do that. So I'm not entirely sure how that really works. Like I've never ever tried to pick up women from like bars or I'm not even familiar with that, but it's easy to have a communication when you just feel like you understand each other's language and
right,
you just, you know, you have that connection.
Right.
I'm curious to know your community makeup here.
Yeah,
and
that's...
I'm noticing, actually, first though, I want to ask this. I'm noticing that you have very little to no distinction in your voice that you are not from here.
You don't have an accent.
Yeah,
you
that's
like
true. I mean,
not
I
only not accent, you like you have intonations, you have inflections, you have idioms already, and you've only been here like 6 years. How did that happen?
I mean, I want to give credit to my relationship again for this,
right,
probably, but
that
it's just
sense.
Like it's a communication that you're having 24/7 So I may have like picked up a bunch of things that the way that my partner used to talk. So it probably could have been there. Also, I feel like I'm pretty adaptive. It's easy for me to do this. My community, to answer that first question again here, I don't necessarily think I have a lot of Indian friends, if that's where this is headed. But
But is that obvious?
I'll tell you this. I don't necessarily think I have a lot of Indian friends. Translates to, I don't have a lot of Indian friends.
I mean, I do have a lovely photographer friend, the first person that I met when I moved here, Manjri. So I would probably consider her as my only sort of connection to India here. But outside of that, yeah, I'm surrounded by a lot of...
Is that a conscious choice? Was that just an organic thing that happened?
I don't think it was... I was trying to, like, run away and not, like, meet other people like me. But I think whatever happened nicely. And it just also helped me, like, learn the culture and adapt to it pretty quickly. So it was definitely helpful in a lot of ways.
Right.
I have a couple questions, actually. I don't know which one to lead with. All right. How do you think you've grown in America or changed, whichever one you think is better? How has America changed you?
Oh, my God. So many ways. I think the strongest sense comes from, like, me recognizing as a feminist now, which probably wouldn't have happened if I was in India, because I did have my own, like,
you were a
core fucked
person
up.
Then.
Oh, yeah. I was in advertising, and I honestly didn't even know how to recognize a lot of issues that men usually just overlook anyway.
Yeah,
So I think that education has been phenomenal, to be honest. Like, I'm surrounded by really smart people here. And then even the beginning of my relationship, I mean, those are the things that I learned, and I learned very patiently. So that probably will have to be the strongest part that has become part of my personality now. But outside of that too, I think it U.S. made me really humble, because I basically, when I moved here, I know this is probably such a weird thing to say, but when I moved here, I sort of had this, like, weird chip on my shoulder, or this ego. I was the youngest creative director in the TBW network in India.
Wow.
So even though it's India, for me, that was my world, and it just felt like I had accomplished a lot. So when I moved here, I came here with that same sense that, hey, I'm just going to freaking go there and crush it.
Right.
And then I basically got kicked in my nuts, because that's not, you know, people...
That's what New York does to you.
Yeah,
New York
people weren't waiting for me to, like, show up and, like, change things. So
right.
So it was a very humbling experience. I had never worked anywhere outside of my career. So this is the first place where I worked at a Gap. 3 months, and I was embarrassed of it, to be honest, because of my cultural upbringing. But then that was the best thing. Like, if I'm ever going to write a biography, Gap is going to get a chapter for sure.
Really? Why? Just because of the humility and, like, the...
Yeah, it just, like, it basically just took me out of my shell and helped me, like, start having polite conversation with strangers, which I probably wouldn't have done. They made me a greeter, so I would just basically greet people when they were walking into the store.
Right.
So I had to pick up, like, just to say hello to them and, like, ask them a question just helped me so much.
Let me ask you about the beard and shaved head look, because I'm curious as to when that happened in your, was that part of what shifted when you came here?
No, not really. This is very new. This is
first Brooklyn or the look?
Brooklyn came first. And, well, this, the tattoo and beard happened at the same time last year, somewhere around July. So this transformation is pretty new.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I mean, I think it, on Tinder, I went from being 4 to, I would say, 7 because of the beard and the tattoo.
It's really astonishing how much you equate things back to Tinder.
Oh, for sure.
And it's all super mathematical. The most Indian thing about this conversation is that your Tinder is, like, statistical and numerical. It's like, well, 1
I mean,
out of 7.
That's how I validate, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a great validation tool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's a very feminist quality, is to count swipes. New York feminism, dog. I cannot handle it. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I love women. Let's have sex with them as many as possible. Let me ask you this as a second question. You said you were married here.
Yes.
I don't think I realized. I think I just thought it was a long-term relationship, because you see a lot of that in New York. How did your divorce. How was your divorce perceived by your mom and in general back when you went to
India? That's really interesting because,
have asked great questions.
I mean, we're killing this interview.
I mean, honestly,
I'm going to be honest, folks. I'm not sure about this equipment, but we're killing this interview. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm a little in my head because I'm not sure. Zoom, I'm going to call you out. I'm not sure about your shit. But
it's interesting because I think number one, I broke the cultural rule number one by marrying a white woman.
Yeah.
And then I broke another cultural rule by leaving a person, which is also a huge taboo in Indian culture that you're probably familiar with anyway. So
wait, interesting wording. You left. Wasn't like
We left. So I recode. Well, okay. We decided that this was not going to work, and we are probably just better as partners better as friends rather than partners. It was confusing. I don't necessarily think that my mother has completely given up on that even now.
That you guys are gonna get back together.
Well, it's like,
or that you're gonna marry an Indian.
Oh, that she knows that's probably not gonna happen. But she in the sense like she's still close to my ex and
oh wow.
They're
an Indian mom thing to do.
Well, totally. And I wanted that to happen. They both like each other, and I never wanted that relationship to change because I am not with the same person.
Nah, man, I disagree strongly. You already said it. Auntie got a lot of friends. Auntie, you can have one less friend. It's okay. It's fine. You already got a bustling social calendar. I mean, drop somebody.
I don't know if that answers, but yeah, I think it was confusing.
I have two questions, and I'm going to approach this delicately because you can tell me to shut the fuck up at any moment that you need to. I'm curious about the relationship falling apart and how much of that we had. We were talking recently with someone who, on the other side of it, she was a Latino woman who married a South Asian, actually a Pakistani Christian. And she was just talking about that relationship fell apart largely because of the cultural differences and the inability to bridge those and reconcile those. Did that have a part to play in why your relationship was not successful?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like this was something that I would have probably denied 2 years ago, but I've just done a lot of growing up in these last 2 years. So I think there are things that I recognize about this relationship that I can totally link back to cultural differences, for sure. I think it was mostly my expectations that probably killed this.
Ah.
So just being an Indian and have grown up in this environment where you're consistently pushed to do better and do this and do that and always have like a path for yourself, I feel like I just reflected a lot of that and just like kind of tried
into the relationship?
Yeah.
Or
so
onto her.
I projected that onto her. I basically wanted her. She's flowy. She's more hippie at heart. She wanted to do things that, you know, were just more fluid than the way that I think. I don't anymore. That's the bigger difference now. But in that moment, yes. And plus, we were really young. She was 22. I was 26 when we met. So the expectation. Also, I was just like under a lot of pressure when I moved here because I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. So I was kind of putting that pressure on her also to, you know, just take care of me.
Almost looking to the relationship to solve an internal.
Basically. And then also was just, you know, that was my.
But that isn't a cultural, that looking for a relationship to solve something is a very universal.
I think the cultural aspect here is the expectations. We do, as Indians, we are guilty of that for sure. We do have like really strong opinionated.
And when you're talking expectations, you're not just talking about expectations of what you expected within the relationship. You're expectations.
No, it's social. It's like, you know, family is doing this, so we should be doing this too. Or, you know, my brother has like this social engagement and he wants us to come, so I can't say no to him. So we have to go with that. You know? So it's just like all those sort of like things just like mashed up together that even in the moment don't feel great will just like keep suffocating your relationship. And then eventually. That was just part of it. I don't necessarily think that culture was the biggest role in destroying this relationship, but it definitely played a role, for sure.
So I'm curious as to, you've now alluded to, and I might be in misinterpreting, that you are, it almost sounds like you are close to the idea of a South Asian woman in your life. And I'm curious if, to one, that's true, and then two, as to why that would be.
You seem like
that's not an
option
for you anymore.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, I don't, I don't think, well, I don't know. I probably, I'm just biased in a lot of ways. And I feel, I don't even know if there's like a right non-asshole-ish version of this. So I'm gonna probably bring this down to attraction, if anything.
I think that's that's a fair thing to do. I'm gonna question that. We're gonna have a conversation around that.
So it's probably just the attraction.
But you were, I'm curious to know what shifted, because you've dated many South Asians before, and you were conceivably attracted to them at that time.
For sure, but I think that was also because I didn't have any other option. So I mean, that was my scene. That's where I was.
I just never understand this whole, like, I get people that date, like, that tend to find. I just don't understand the closing off of an entire spectrum. That's confusing to me.
I feel like, so one of the things that,
and I'm not trying to place any.
No. I'm reflecting on this with you. Actually, that's what I'm gonna do. So I think one of the things. This is just the weird, like, human tendency of, like, you know, going after things that are harder to get. I don't know how much people agree with this statement or not.
Put the white women on a pedestal.
is that
No. It's not that. No, I was gonna finish this. Basically what happened with my initial relationships was that I consistently felt like somebody wanted something out of me. That's what was happening always in my relationships in India. It always felt like there was an end goal where somebody, like these women, basically want something out of me. And the main reason why I was so attracted to this white person was not because she was white, obviously, but more because it felt more detached. It didn't feel like she wanted anything from me.
That's really interesting.
And then just felt like this is what I want. It felt refreshing.
And now you've come to associate that with whiteness.
Probably. I feel like that's probably something that just, you know, I went after.
Because I can, yeah. That's an interesting.
Interestingly, I've had conversations with, I mean, my family still, like, especially my mom, will still try to, like, convince me if she can, like, show me some eligible bachelors and I've had conversations with Indian women who grew up here, were born here.
Yeah, is that different?
It's really different. It's really different because, I mean, even if there was an iota of me that felt like, hey, no, I mean, you're an interesting person and I want to, you know, see if things can change the way that I feel, those conversations will just kill it, because it comes from that sense of they want the same things that I felt like the women in India wanted from me. And it just always comes down to that, because if they are not trying to find a partner for themselves, it's basically because of the pressure that their family is putting on them. They just want to settle down. They just, you know, it just stems from it. And I never want that.
Are you looking to get married again at any point?
It's unclear. I don't think I necessarily believe in that anymore. But I mean, it's a very convenient.
Believe in marriage?
Yeah, as an institute generally, but I
okay. We'll strip that out then. Do you want a long term? Are you looking to find yourself in a long term?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I that's more recent that I've started reflecting on that. But I mean, I wasn't sure about that till last year.
Are children important for you?
Yeah, in a sense, but I don't necessarily think that's something that I again want like tomorrow. But yeah, maybe down the line.
Yeah, so it's not something that you are pining for.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I do want them.
Was that something that you wanted when you were with Teresa? Before?
Yes. I mean, when Teresa and I were together, that just felt like my final partnership. It just felt like this is it. Like, we're going to have a house. We're going to have a family. We're going to do things that normal relationships, people, traditional relationships do.
Cool. I mean, we've now spent this entire interview and we haven't asked about your work at all. So that means that we're going to bring you back at some point to talk about what the tech scene is. And also, I hear that you really love motorcycles.
Yeah, I do. Mostly because I was never able to have one because my mom was too worried that I'm going to kill myself. So I basically love anything that can move really fast. So it can be cars, it can be bikes, motorbikes, yeah.
You ride in the city a lot?
I don't. I still don't have a license in this country. Gotcha. But Lenny's brother-in-law is definitely pushing me a lot to do that. Take care of it.
I have my license, and I would never ride in the city. It would be terrifying.
Oh, here?
Yeah, in New York City.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but I still definitely want to get it so that
nice,
I can ride.
Get a Vespa, best of both worlds. You know what I mean? Get a little scooter, feel like it's India again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, even here, like my goal is actually to invest in a Royal Enfield. That's what I'm gonna.
Oh, okay.
Get, so
that's a super Indian thing to do right there. Well, guys, I want Puneet, thank you so much for one coming on and then being so generous with us diving into what could have been very uncomfortable. Questions. So I do really appreciate you just diving in. If are you someone that people like, are you active on social media? If people want to get at you, if like these Indian girls that listen and I want to be like, yo, this is why you're wrong, want to get at you, and so that they don't get at us, where do we send them?
You can probably find me on Instagram. I'm not super active on Twitter, even though I have a handle.
What's the handle?
It's Puneet Sab, S-A-B.
Now, oh, let me ask you this. Last question. Sorry, I know I just said I just got into the closing thing. How do you say your name for people?
Puneet Sabharwal.
So you say more or less how they would say it. Have you Americanized it for a lot of folks?
I feel like the last name for sure. Like I would sometimes say Sabharwal.
Right.
Sabharwal, right?
Sabharwal.
Yeah. And Puneet, I would say Puneet, but you sound pretty much how your mother would say it.
Yeah, I mean, I try to at least when I'm saying it myself, but I don't get offended if people can't pronounce it. It's
right, but you don't like that. You don't Americanize. You don't help them out.
Oh no, like no, it's fine. Whatever, okay, cool. Whatever they.
That's shots to my cousin who does that. Who's also
shots to Sanjay Gupta, which is really the same thing to me as Bobby Jindal.
Sanjay CNN Gupta? Boy, he does that.
Huh?
He does that. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I'm not even gonna lie. Never watch anything he's ever done. I don't know what that says about me, but it's a fact that I'm going to leave you guys on. Guys, you know what we do. We're doing this new Facebook thing where we are adding a question to the little post that we make, and we would love for you guys to comment on that. We're trying to figure out new ways for the community to be able to get active and engaged, so that's a new way we're trying, so do that. And also, if you could do us a huge favor, there's a little button under the post that says share. If you just click that, it takes 12 seconds, probably less. And it just really helps us get out, get the podcast out to more and more people because, you know, aside from Akash trying to get that money, we're trying to grow a community here.
I stopped caring about the community a long time ago. The community never fails to let me down. You guys are a bunch of bums. All I want you to do, 5-star the podcast. Arjun's already moved on to Facebook. I just want you to do the first thing I've been asking you to do. I'm going to search right now American Desi's podcast on my phone. I'm gonna see how many of you guys have actually 5-starred this thing recently.
Right? And I'm gonna sing while it happens.
Nobody. I'm not seeing any 5-star the podcast. Just write in bruh as a review. I don't see any here. You're all useless.
I'll do it right now.
Oh, look at this. Puneet's literally doing it at this moment.
And look at you. You guys aren't doing it. He gave us an hour of his time. Y'all don't do nothing.
I love you all. I'm going to couple this with a little bit of sugar. You guys are amazing.
You guys are garbage.
You guys are amazing.
Human garbage.
I'm Arjun.
Who cares what my name is? Not y'all.
We'll catch you in a couple days.
God bless, I hope.